15, verse 31 to 33. And as you're turning there, I'll give you a little background. This section of John is known as the Upper Room Discourse. It runs from, I believe, chapter 13 to 18. And in this section, if you want to just page with me a little bit, you see chapter 13, look at John 13, 1. This is the feast before the Feast of Unleavened Bread in the upper room. And Jesus sits with his disciples and says to them about the hour to depart this world. He's about, this is the hour to depart this world, 13, 1, and then verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit about the betrayal in that section. Chapter 14, then he comes to the antidote, let not your heart be troubled. But he goes on throughout the section, 15, then chapter 16. We talk about chapter 16, verse 1, I've said these things to keep you from falling. So there's great danger afoot here. These are not idle time. These are very difficult times, very critical times. And then chapter 5, I am now going to him who sent me. He's going to leave them. And so the passion, the angst is building. We come then to the text in the end of this chapter, John 16, 31. Hear now this portion of God's word. Jesus answered them, Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Let us pray. Lord, let your Spirit bless me as I preach this text to your people. Bless these who hear in Christ's name. Amen. I didn't pass an outline, but there are three points. First one is, in this world, you will have tribulation. That's the first point. In this world, you will have tribulation. I want to survey just a little while with you the tribulations that are possible. The tribulations that come are multitudinous. We could spend hours talking about our own experiences with tribulations. I actually thought about having an open session tonight and people giving testimonies, but I think it might get too long. But let's survey some of the things that come in life by way of tribulation. That would be one right there. Think of the cycle of life. The birth pains that come to a mother in delivery. I know I've had it 5 times, so. And when the babies come out, the first thing you do is cry. And that's the beginning of crying, beginning of sorrows, we might say. The children learn to obey. My youngest daughter is training her now 2-year-old, who's discovered the word no. Now, she didn't tell him that word. Well, maybe she did, actually. But he's learning to use it. And the pain for mother and child and dad and child in this portion of the cycle of life, learning to obey. And then the struggles of adolescence. There's great changes that occur. And the wonders and the mysteries and the fatigue and the concern. How will I turn out? Getting an education. Pains that go with that. Finding a job and keeping a job. Having a family, providing for a family. Getting old. And then facing dying. Each segment of life has beauties and each has challenges. They're all filled with joys and tribulations. In this world, you will have tribulations. It's the physical things that get us down the most, I suppose. We're most noticing them. Our prayer lists are more filled with physical problems than they are spiritual ones. At least we list them more readily. Birth defects. Mentioned this morning in our prayers are for the missionary family, the Calls and Uruguay, that the baby was born, maybe have kidney problems, maybe needs surgery, little baby Lucas. We're born with limitations. We inherit or we have sicknesses. Talking to a family this week about seeming like a thread of sickness through their family. Maybe inherited diseases. And then tragedies, accidents. Ken Hill was going on his own business through downtown Orlando, and somebody didn't stop at a stop sign and slammed into his truck. And there's all manner of limitations, or rather tribulations and tragedies. And then there are family fights and disagreements and discord. Misunderstandings and hurt feelings. Broken relationships and divorce. And children without parents. And parents and children who can't get along. There's financial disasters. There's a fear of financial disasters. There's the politics issues that we mentioned in prayer this morning. There's crime. Did I mention this morning about a fellow who shot his brother, killed his brother with a cheeseburger? It's in the newspaper here in Orlando. It's foolish. Rash, unreasonable crime, earthquakes, a rash of them, as Jesus said there would be. And then there's millions of people in need. And if you feed them today, you feed them tomorrow. And it seems like there's no end. And there's fires burning up Canada and California. And then there's godlessness. The tribulation that I think bites the deepest into our hearts as believers are the evidences of godlessness in our nation. I just can't believe that the state of North Carolina is being sued for having people go to the bathroom of their gender. It's become such a political issue that it just seems that our nation has become untethered, unable to distinguish between right and wrong, God's law, and man's desires against his law. Then, of course, comes with that persecution, which is what Christ promised us all, and we have all escaped most of it in this part of the world, but it's not going to be leaving you forever. I believe the day will come when you children or you young adults will be allowed to worship in private, but not allowed to speak of your faith in public. I believe it'll happen in your lifetime in the United States of America. Now, this is just a small sampling. If we each took the opportunity to speak about tribulations that we see or feel or fear, we would be here all night. Now notice what Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulations. This is a certainty. This is something you can bank on. That in this lifetime, you should expect tribulations. Jesus prophesied this. Paul, Peter, James, all prophesied in the last days there'd be terrible things. For instance, Peter in 1 Peter 4:12 said, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you as though something strange were happening to you." It shouldn't be strange. What should be strange is when we don't have tribulations. Because the norm is tribulation. So point number one is this text in John 16:33. In this world you will have tribulation. Now the second point is the next phrase or clause. But take heart, or in my text, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Now these statements are like bone upon bone, in my thinking, without any sinew between, like rubbing vertebrae, causing great angst. In this world, you will have tribulation, be of good cheer. It doesn't immediately appear how it can happen, but let's think about what he said. Be of good cheer means change your outlook. Think outside the box, or maybe better, think beyond what you can see. Think beyond what you can normally imagine. Now, I'm preaching to myself here, of course, as you know this. Now, this is not Pollyanna. The word Pollyanna, I don't really know the derivation. I know it's some sort of story, but a person who thinks everything's wonderful, nothing's wrong, and is completely blind to the problem in the world. That's not the message at all. It doesn't ignore the problems. It's not pretend they don't exist. Rather, consider what else Jesus has said, such as, be of good cheer, for a starter, but there is divine intervention at work. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Third point, look at your text, the last clause of 16:33. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's why we don't have to be afraid, and that's why we should have cheer in the midst of our trials. In the world, you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Now, a few thoughts about this text. This text encompasses all the plan of salvation, and so we're going to bicycle through it very quickly. First of all, when Adam and Eve sinned, God promised a Savior. And Jesus is saying, in my words, I am Genesis 3:15, come to life. When our parents fell into sin and inherited this corrupt, cursed, condemned world, which all this sickness and death and pain and agony exists and shall exist to the end of time. He gave you this promise that through the seed of the woman would come this offspring who would destroy Satan. This is Jesus Christ. He said in these words, my words, I have kept that covenant that Adam broke. I am the second Adam. That's Paul's language, as you know. In this world, you have tribulation. But take heart, I have overcome the world, beginning with a covenant of works. My words, of course. I was born in that same covenant that you were born into. That covenant works. But I have kept that covenant fully. The graduation exercises, if you were able to attend, some of you were there. R.C. Sproul spoke about Christ's active obedience. The active obedience of Christ means that Christ completely obeyed everything that was in the covenant of works, everything in the law. He was the only one who kept it perfectly. And that, friends, is why, and that is the way he overcame the world. Jesus did for us what Adam failed to do, what your parents have failed to do, what your pastors have failed to do, what you have failed to do, and that is to deserve glory because you have broken the covenant of works and I have broken the covenant of works. But Christ can say to his disciples, I have overcome the world, and I'm saying in my language, beginning with the covenant of works that I've kept. And by keeping the covenant of works, Christ inherited what Adam lost, which was what? The world. He lost control of it. He lost leadership over it. But by Christ's obedience to the Father, full obedience, Christ has regained control of this order, of this world, of history. When Christ rose from the dead and appears to the disciples, the first thing he said was, all authority in heaven and on earth, has been given to me. He's overcome the world. The one you follow, Jesus Christ, has overcome the world. Then he says in John 16, 33, I have said these things to you that in me you might have peace. You may have peace, you may be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. That is, I have overcome the sin of the world. I am their peace. You can find peace with me. Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I'll put it in another word. I'll put these words in Jesus' mouth. Jesus said, in effect, I have met the enemy. I've wrested control from him. I have seen Satan fall as lightning from heaven. That is Luke 10:18, if you're taking notes. Luke 10:18. Jesus said to his disciples, the disciples of 72 returned from preaching the gospel about the kingdom and casting out demons, and they rejoiced every came back to Jesus and said and shared all their good stories. And Jesus said, in reflection on their experience of seeing those demons cast out, he said to them, I saw Satan like as lightning falling from heaven. Meaning Satan has been toppled. Satan's control has been broken. And he's now under the authority of Christ. Colossians chapter 2. I was going to preach on this book tonight, maybe next time. But just chapter 2, verse 15, a similar text from Paul. Christ disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame, triumphing over them in the cross. That's Jesus Christ who said, I've overcome the world. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I'm the life. I'm the way to heaven. I'm the way to glory. I'm the bread of life. You eat of me, your soul will be satisfied. I'm the living water. I'm the light of the world. I'm the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. I have overcome the world. And finally, Jesus said in the writing of John, I am coming again. I am coming again. In this world, you will face continuing tribulation. But be of good cheer. Jesus, your Savior, has overcome the world. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I am preaching this to myself, as you know. The labors of pastoral life, the burdens of the church, weigh me down a lot. I grieve, pray with anxiety. I, Lord, need to be of good cheer. because my Savior, the one who has us all in his hands, the head and king of your church, has overcome this world. We can flee to you as a chick to her mother to find shelter under the wings, as we sang this morning. We come to you in time of anxiety and prayer and find relief because, Jesus, you have won the victory already for us. And you are with us. You will never leave us or forsake us. Help us, O Lord, to deal with our tribulations with good cheer, because you have overcome the world. We ask this in Jesus' name.